News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and oh my gosh, I'm so lucky to have around my table today Fred Thompson from Edible Piedmont. You are a hard man to get in that chair across the table from me, sir.
Well, it's not that difficult, Deborah. I'm always glad to come visit with you.
Well, it's been a while, and we have so much catching up to do because I was just realizing that since you were here the last time, Edible Piedmont and the whole edible communities won a very prestigious award. Tell us.
Well, we were very fortunate. Edible Communities, which now has grown to about almost 75 magazines throughout the country, was awarded the James Beard Award, James Beard Foundation Award, for Best Magazine.
Uh-huh.
This was the first year that they presented that award, and so I feel doubly honored that we were the first recipient of that award. It's sort of a culmination of the award was judged on editorial and photography from all the magazines. And we've been very fortunate to win several awards internally within the Edible Communities family. But then I have great writers like Nancy McDermott and people like that to work with. But it's quite an honor. And if anything, it puts a little more pressure on us to do even better.
Well, so the publication is how old at this point?
3.5 years.
And when it started, how many actual communities were there?
I think I was the 51st community.
51st.
But there weren't a whole lot in the South. Most of them were along the West Coast and in the Northeast. The original edible community was Edible Ojai. And the second one was Edible Cape Cod. And quite frankly, the two founders of Edible Communities kind of got dragged and kicking and screaming into this whole licensing process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it. It kind of gives me something to work, a framework to work within. It's not like starting from ground zero. But at the same time, they don't tell me what to print. They don't tell me what to write. And, you know, as far as the magazine being Edible Piedmont, that is it. We write about the Piedmont to the coast.
So you get license, creative license to do.
Yes, ma'am.
And every community's publication
is different.
Gets to do that.
Yes.
Is there another North Carolina community?
Well, there's going to be one coming in the spring, Edible Charlotte. Edible Piedmont had been covering that area, but quite frankly, the growth in that market kind of indicated that it needed its own little variety. And there's some, you know, I'm looking at some things towards the mountains and also towards the coast. So,
see, I'd pick the coast.
I'll always pick the coast.
I know. I mean, you're the fish guy.
You
know.
And I do that because I like to hang out at the beach, but, you know.
Who doesn't? Well, so I'm holding in my hand the winter 2011-2012 issue, and is that country ham in a skillet, I see?
That's country ham in a skillet with red-eye gravy, some homemade biscuits, and my mama's collard greens back in the back. And I hope if you haven't gotten your issue yet, there's still plenty out there. Whole Foods is always a good place to pick them up, as is Southern Season. A lot of our great restaurants around town. Foursquare, Lantern, Watts Grocery.
Oh, they sell them too?
They're all free.
Oh, they're all free.
See, I want you to be able to go get this magazine and think about cooking and buying locally. And right now, I'm just not going to charge you for that privilege. I just want you to change your thought process.
Well, if you don't want to go out there and hunt for them, you can subscribe. I think it's $28
a year.
And that comes straight to your house then. Nice advertising. You know what? One of the reasons that I love it so much is because there's a lot of white space. I happen to be kind of a fan of white space. I mean, I guess magazine people don't want white space because that means.
No, this is an ongoing argument in every issue. We want white space. I want the articles to stand out. I want the photography to stand out. I think you get bored with a cluttered something or other.
I agree.
You know, for whatever whether we like her or don't like her, Martha Stewart changed the way magazines are looked at and the design of magazines. And I think she had some good ideas and her staff had good ideas. And but I do like the white space. This is not Manhattan. This is not sensory overload.
Right.
I want you to be calm and have a good time with this and sit down and enjoy it.
I think there's reverence in white space.
I like that. Can I steal that from you?
You can use that next time. There's such a concentration on what's on the page, and I know how many magazines I get, and I lose my place all the time, and I don't necessarily go back and pick them up. So I'm thrilled that that y'all won this award, and very exciting. And curiously, how far out do y'all work?
Well, we're working about a quarter. Well, we're always working a quarter away. A lot of times we're out two or three quarters, depending mm-hmm. on the type of story that we want to do and the photography that we want to go with it. So, and I would encourage people that are writers that have a passion for local and farms and restaurants and good eats in general to, send us something at info@ediblepiedmont.com if they're interested in writing. I try to, the best I can, give new writers opportunities. Mm-hmm. Because the hardest thing to get is your first, what's called in the business, the clip.
The clip.
The clip.
Yep.
And once you have one, then you can go forth and multiply. So.
Well, that's pretty good advice, because I have a lot of people ask me a lot, very often when I'm out on the street, how do you get started writing and how do you get started? I mean, you have to actually sit down and do the writing. Then you worry about, don't go sell something before you've written it.
True.
If you haven't written yet, then try that first.
Travel writers tend to do that, but they have a.
Do they get away with that?
Yeah, they kind of have to, because to the expense of, let's say you and I are going to go write about Tuscany. I kind of want to know somebody's going to foot the bill.
Well, I know, but that would, assuming you had never read anything I'd ever written, and I came to you and said, pay me to go to Tuscany, you'd probably go, uh-uh.
No. And the other thing that budding writers need to understand, too, is that editors are extremely busy. I get, on average, between 450 to 500 emails a day, of which 20 of them probably are worth something. And so we give us time to sort through these things. Don't necessarily expect immediate response, but...
Well, we're going to have to go to break. What's funny about that is I've been kind of hounding Fred for the last 2 months about why he hasn't responded to me. And I have him in the room now. I'm not letting him out till we talk about it. We're going to have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Fred Thompson. We're talking about Edible Piedmont and all the things he's got going on. And he's got a book that just came out and a new book coming out. So you're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360, WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I have around my table today Fred Thompson from Edible Piedmont. And you were telling me during the break that you have something happening on TV.
Well, my November column for the News and Observer was about my mama's collard green recipe. And it literally took me about 20 years to get all the nuances and the fine-tuning that she did out of her to where I felt like that I could make collard greens as good as she could. And she's living in assisted living now, so she is dependent on me to bring her collard greens.
Uh-huh.
A couple of weeks after this ran, I got a phone call from a producer for a new show that the Live Well Network, which is part of ABC, is producing, called Your Family Recipe Rocks, I think is what they're calling it. And
it's kind of cute.
Yeah, and I kind of laughed at them and said, yeah, who is this really? Because they wanted to come to Raleigh and watch me cook mom's collard greens. They're traveling around the country trying to find family recipes with stories and family connections. And they are coming on site and watching you do it and putting it together. And I had a really great time.
Was this the film crew you had in last week?
This was the film crew I had in last week. That's why I wasn't sitting here last week.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
It's being hosted by one of the folks from NXS. And right now, it's scheduled to air probably sometime in January, but they're still kind of up in the air as to where.
Where it's going to air. Do they come in your kitchen?
Oh, yeah.
At your house?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
We started the farmer's market in Raleigh because I knew I could, on the day they were in, I knew I could find whole heads of cabbage collards, and that's the critical ingredient in all of this. So we bought some collards. We went up and bought some ham hocks from one of the farmers there that does pigs and stuff, and then we headed over to my house, and we cooked. And doing the prep, kind of knowing, having worked on TV shows before and commercials and things, I had done a lot of prep beforehand. So I think I wound up stripping, dressing, and cooking about 12 heads of collards before it was all said and done.
Did you really have enough
collards in my freezer now to last me for the year.
Now, and you didn't bring any today. We could have sampled them on the... So that recipe is not in this...
Well, it's pretty close. Yeah. And matter of fact, on the cover... is my mother's collard chopper, which is wrapped with masking tape around the handle, and a bowl that was hers. And on page 13, we've got cooked collards, and this is very, very close to what I did with some of my son-in-law's twist, Kyle Wilkerson, who is our executive chef for the magazine, but he's also the sous chef at Foursquare over in Durham. Took a little liberty with Mom's recipe, and he wound up winning the collard cook-off contest over at the Durham Farmers Market back in the fall.
Wow.
So this is Mom's recipe with Kyle's twist.
And do you like this?
I do.
Does your mom?
I haven't. No. We haven't been down that road. We want to keep the son-in-law and his grandmother-in-law in good stead right now.
Oh well, it's a beautiful cover, and you take all these pictures.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm guessing that means you're as hands-on with this as any publisher has ever been.
Probably more so. There's not a whole lot of this that I don't touch in some way. And I thoroughly enjoyed doing the food photography. I've always enjoyed doing it, and now I sort of have a purpose to it, and we're kind of branching out into doing food photography for other people as well.
How the heck do you have time for all these other things like the books?
I don't sleep.
You don't sleep. He's brought a pillow. He's going to actually lay down here and take a nap. You had a book come out that was
back in April called Grill Master.
Grill Master,
and that was in conjunction with William Sonoma, and it's one of those where they actually put your name on the front of the book, and it's a gorgeous book.
Nice,
gorgeous, gorgeous book. It's one of my favorite books from a photography standpoint.
Did you get to take the pictures?
I did not, but I got to go to California and get videoed because the ebook version of it has some embedded video of me. Talking about grilling and doing a little demo work, and it's really cool. And this year I've been working on a project that's really kind of near and dear to my heart that won't be out until next fall, but it's I think it's going to be called Fred Thompson's Southern Sides, but it's a cookbook of nothing but Southern side dishes, some real classic, old-fashioned, and some with my twist, because I tend not to leave well enough alone sometimes.
Well, but that's a good thing. That can be a good thing. I know it's a crazy question because it's like asking if you have a favorite child or something, but do you have a favorite side dish that would be, I mean, the show's side dish, so it's a kind of I'm partial to sides.
Well, yeah, it is like kind of pulling. Growing up, I hated collards, but now as an adult, I love them. But my all-time favorite thing seems to be what my grandmother used to call field peas. And I like them in a special way with some chopped up tomatoes that have been marinated in vinegar and a little bit of sugar poured over the top of it. We had a name for that as well, and it's one I can't – well, let's see. I think my aunt calls it strutting tomatoes – We called it tomato. Anyway, you just put it on top. But I do love my shell beans, and it's been so great to be able to get not only just crowders and purple hulls, but pink eyes and all the different varieties that the farmers are growing around here.
Peas are wonderful, and I think they're underrated.
Well, they're not with me, and of course, it's to me, it's hard to beat dead summer ripe tomatoes with a little drizzle of good olive oil and some fresh herbs, and that's a wonderful thing to eat too.
There's something about having to suffer all winter without
any fun, kind of.
You know. Well, even my friends up in upstate New York and in Vermont, they hear me. I call and go tomato sandwich, and they're saying, I'm not getting
mine month.
For another month. Stop it. I mean, I want to send them stuff. So,
well, for a long time, when I was commuting back and forth in New York, and heirloom tomatoes were not that available down here, or if they were available, Alex did a great job, but Ben Barker and Brett Jennings and, you know, the chefs basically bought everything he had. I was packing a suitcase when I would come back to Raleigh, and I would with heirloom tomatoes, fresh corn, you know, all kinds of things that I couldn't get easily down here. Fortunately, now we can get it all.
Well, we are lucky, and we're in one of the foodiest small towns in America and
absolutely
in areas. So we're going to have to go to break. We are talking with Fred Thompson from Edible Piedmont, and I don't even know where we're going to go when we come back, but you don't want to miss it. You're listening to Side Dish on 1360 WCHL.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360, WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I am around the table with Fred Thompson from Edible Piedmont, and we're going to talk about Super Bowl recipes since that's coming up. But first question, do people send you food and stuff for the magazine to review? And
no, would you please?
Do you get goodies?
No, we do get some goodies. We get a lot of prepared products that people would like us to write about or taste and what have you. And we've started a new feature in the last two issues of kind of what we call food finds.
Uh-huh.
Things that that we've either found or somebody sent to us, and we think that they're worth sharing and getting the word out. So. But yes, send
things. Food, send
things.
Goodies.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking that'd be a good way to get a story published, is if you send it along with your, you know, your grandmother's chocolate chip cookies or really good stuff.
But let me back up and tell you one thing that's really cool. We were involved in the selection process for Cooking Light's annual artisanal products back in the fall, and North Carolina kicked butt. I mean, we've got some of the greatest artisanal and products around, you know, whether it's April McGregor stuff or the new Big Peanut Company things and Mangalista hams out of Johnston County. So when you're thinking, think North Carolina.
Well, you know, I Janet McCracken from Bon Appetit, I got paired up with her at dinner at Terra Vita, and she was in love with April McGregor's, one of her jams, and I worked hard to try to get her a jar to take back on the airplane with her, and I hope it didn't get confiscated, but you're right. I mean,
we're very fortunate, right?
We are very,
very
fortunate.
Very fortunate. We got great stuff.
So, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, you and I have both determined we watch it for the ads, although
If the game turns out to be fairly good, I'll get interested in it.
But I'm a Steelers fan.
Well,
sorry.
Well, that didn't bother me. I guess I'm a Redskin fan because that's how I grew up. But, you know, since I'm an NC State boy, I still pull a little bit for San Diego because of Phillip Rivers. Think about sort of different stuff. Think about there's a great pickled shrimp recipe in Edible Piedmont.
Oh, it's good.
That's easy to make. You can do it a couple days in advance. Instead of the obligatory chili, do something like a bouillabaisse or a chipino, or even there's some very simple fish stews out there that are perfect if you leave them in a crock pot on low and let people just serve themselves.
So it needs to be a bowl or finger foods, don't you think?
I think so.
I mean, the bowl and the super bowl.
Well, yeah, but it's easy to eat. One thing I've noticed, and guys can't eat food off their laps, so it needs to be something that they can hold.
I mean, in their hands.
Genetically, we're not skilled to have a plate on our lap.
Beer, a plate. Beer and
a bowl.
Hunk of food.
Yeah, whatever. So, you know, add some neat and new interesting little things to your wings. And don't get me wrong, there will be hot wings around my table in Super Bowl. So,
well, what's your sauce recipe?
It's really simple. It's Texas Pete, butter. And the one thing that I learned in New York was crushed garlic, lots of it. And let the Texas Pete and the butter and the crushed garlic kind of all get nice and happy together.
Yeah.
And then toss your wings in there. The garlic really kind of gives it something else.
Oh, my God. That sounds so good.
Yep.
All right. I'm doing that. Well, we are out of time. Please don't let it be a year before you're here again. I want to try to get you back once a quarter so we can talk about the magazine. Fred Thompson, thank you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. I always have a good time when I come here.
This has been a lot of fun. All that was missing was food and wine, right?
Yeah. Well.
Well, let's go.
All right.
You've been listening to Side Dish on 1360 WCHL.
Thank you for listening to Side Dish, tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish, an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360 WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.